Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball isn't boring with Bradlow on WEEI.
All right, welcome back. Baseball isn't boring show. It's been a good one so far. We're pitching perfect game, Joe Braverman, behind the glass. Yes. Yes. Stop listening to music and say yes.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you. All right, we're going to continue our excellence with friend of the program, farm director, owner of multiple baseballs and boring stickers for his children, Brian Abraham of the Boston Red Sox. Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Rob?
What was it like to be just about 15 feet away from witnessing the Wasabi Challenge with me yesterday? What was that like?
It was something I was not expecting to see in the Worcester dugout, I will say that. It was something I hope I never have to witness again, but I was impressed. I was impressed that you were able to have two balls of wasabi and not pass out. That was pretty impressive.
It was. I am a freak of nature. I was very cognizant of not injuring your players. They did not have to, in case people missed
you.
It. At BB isn't boring. Check out the video. Tristan Cassis and Vaughn Grissom, who have both partaken in the Wasabi Challenge, which is answering a question, getting it wrong, and having to eat a ping pong size ball of wasabi. I was the one getting the questions wrong, which, by the way, Brian, I'm embarrassed at my answers. I knew that Fred Lynn did not win a World Series. But I was the one who had to eat the wasabi while your players. I felt like laughter is the best medicine, and both players were laughing a lot, so you're welcome for that.
No, it's always always good to keep good vibes, especially for guys on rehab assignments. You know, the work can be monotonous. It's a grind to get back to the big leagues, but I appreciate you keeping levity in the clubhouse.
Yeah, there you go. Anything. I'm the straw that stirs a drink. All right. Before we get to the players that may be promoted, I want to ask you about Tristan Cassis, about your perspective of him. He's only played a couple games. He had yesterday off. He talked to us. He said a lot of different things. But, you know, what's what is what. I mean, and we have to gather ourselves and say this is where Tristan Cassis is after seeing him play a couple games. What is your perspective of where Tristan is at, watching him play in Worcester so far, and what is the plan going forward with him?
Yeah, I talked to him for a bit yesterday. I think he's someone who's very aware of his body, very aware of his skill set, very aware of what he needs to do to prepare for a season, a game, a day of work. I think he's progressing well. You know, whenever you don't do something you have done a lot in your life for, you know, 2.5 months, forever, for however long he's been out, it's going to take some time to get back. I heard him speak recently talking about he's very confident that, you know, as he starts playing, it's like riding a bike. The ability to make good swing decisions, the ability to impact the baseball. But at the same time, I think whenever you're doing something at such a high level with such intensity, there's going to be some challenges, there's going to be some soreness, there's going to be some ups and downs. So I think that is just what he's going through right now, the uncertainty, the unknowns of a game. He can't control what happens in a game environment, whether it be check swings, whether it be taking pitches, whether it be hitting the ball hard, hitting the ball soft. All those types of things are kind of taken out of his hands once the game starts. I think we're very lucky to have controlled environments within the clubhouse. He mentioned using trajectory, where he's able to take a lot of high-intensity swings and really just kind of build up that workload and build up that intensity base. So, you know, in terms of a plan, you know, I think he's just continuing to get those reps in, continuing to build that workload, continuing to stay on his feet, build his endurance at first, swing the bat. Just overall ability to be a high-level professional athlete. So I think, again, he's very aware of his body. He's very aware of what he needs to do. And I really respect the heck out of him for what he said. You know, he understands where we are as a major league club, where we are as an organization. And while he needs to get himself ready, he also knows that the major league team is trying to win every night, trying to put out their best players. So he's not going to do anything that is a detriment to the team, while also understanding he needs to focus on himself as well. So I think it's a balance, and it takes some time.
Is he scheduled to play? He may have told me this. I can't remember. Is he scheduled to play today or tomorrow?
He's scheduled to play both days.
Both days. Okay, so he's back in the field. So there you go. And when it comes to this injury, you know the great game of baseball. You've been around in different iterations. Have you seen? I can't remember an injury like this. So when people say, "Oh, he should be back sooner," or "It's going to take him a while," I don't even remember anyone having this injury, this cartilage in the middle of the rib injury. Do you have any context for this, of any history of someone having this injury?
Not in my experience. In my role or within, overseeing player development, you end up dealing with a lot more medical trauma than you probably planned on when you work in baseball. So whether it be reading injury reports, talking with our trainers, talking with doctors, there's a lot of information, a lot of different injuries that pop up. This is a new one, certainly. And I would just say, speaking with our medical group and kind of having a higher level understanding, it was a traumatic injury that takes time to recover from. So, like I said, whenever you talk about, I think it's a good reminder how strong these players are, the level of skill, the level of play that they're performing at, and that when you're doing things at such a high level, there is at times risk of injury. But also, when you are performing at that high level, you need to be able to be the best player, hit the ball 450 plus feet, hit the ball hard, all those types of things. I think there's a little bit of give and take, but I do think this seems like more of a one of the rarer types of injuries that we've seen, at least on the baseball field, that I've been around.
All right, Brian Abraham, farm director of the Red Sox. All right, just talk about some guys that people like talking about. The first one's Kyle Teal. And Reese McGuire has, I believe he's accepted an assignment to Worcester. Is that correct?
Yes, he has.
Okay. Will that impact potential promotion for Kyle Teal to Worcester?
Hard to speak exactly on player movement, but I would just say, the reality is we have a 28-man roster in Worcester, a 28-man roster in Portland, and it's balancing major league depth. It's balancing Worcester depth and ability for players to play. It's having a roster full of catchers is not really ideal for Chad Tracy or Alex Cora when you're talking about depth in Triple A. So I think it's balancing those things out. We have Tyler Heineman there, who's on the 40-man, Reese McGuire, Mickey Gasper, Nathan Hickey. There's four guys right there. So I think trying to figure out where each player fits and allowing them to still develop and perform at their best is something that we're going to have to continue to talk about and discuss as we move forward.
That's a good answer. And I mean, it's something that came up that, I think that wasn't on our radar, probably wasn't on your guys' radar, because we were so focused on, Kyle Teal's going to get called up. But, you can't have 10 catchers on the roster. But anyway, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Marcelo Meyer has been banged up a little bit. I think he had a pec thing, maybe a hip thing. Where is he at right now, and would that impact any possible promotion for him?
Long term, no. I think in the short term, certainly. Some left hip irritation. We had to put him on IL just because, not surprisingly, we traded a few guys over the trade deadline. A couple of those guys were in AA, and similarly to AAA, Chad Epperson needs players to play on a nightly basis, and having nine position players is not really ideal for a multiple game stretch. So we put him on the IL. He's already trending better. Hopefully he's going to be back in game action next week. So it'll be a short term stint. Get him in a couple games back in Portland. We'll see where we are from there.
And that's a hip thing, right? That he's dealing with?
Yeah. Left hip, low back. They kind of, as I said, when you become a little bit more aware of the medical terms, they all connect. Hamstring, hip,
Believe me, low back. I covered JD
to another.
I covered JD Drew. I have a PhD now, so I know all the what's what when it comes to the human body. And obviously, Robin Anthony, who is an interesting guy, a little bit younger than these guys. Do you foresee a possible promotion in the coming days for him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd say coming days, but I think, you know, again, he continues to do things that we've asked him to do. I think over the last couple of weeks, you know, we've really pushed him to try to pull the ball a little bit more, to really get into his power and impact the baseball even more so than he has been, and he's done so. You know, this past week he's had a couple home runs, a couple pull side doubles. It's not that we want him to pull every pitch, but it's just it's the training, it's hitting the ball out front to really do the damage that we feel like he can do. And a lot of the most, you know, most of the damage in the big leagues, most of the damage at the upper levels is done, you know, pull side. So we still want him to be a complete player. We still want him to have barrel awareness and drive the ball to all fields. But I think when you're driving the ball consistently pull side, you're seeing more impact, more damage, and he's really done that. So he continues to progress, and you know, like I said, similar to Marcelo, I think it's imminent in the next couple of days. I don't think so, but I think it's in the near future.
Okay. A guy who, you know, we talk so much about the big three, now it's the big four, thanks to Christian Campbell. Would it be fair to say Christian Campbell, of all the players in your minor league system, has maybe gotten the most momentum or taken the biggest jump or put himself on the radar in a more grander way than anybody else in the last, over the course of the last few months?
I think so. You know, he wasn't a highly touted draft pick. He wasn't someone who I think, you know, what Baseball America or MLB.com really saw as, you know, a higher end player. I think coming into the year, he might've been our 30th ranked prospect by MLB.com, which is, you know, fair. I think probably internally there were a couple signs that made us feel like, you know, if he was able to progress in certain ways, that we'd really see, you know, improvements on the field and some underlying numbers that we were able to see from the cage, whether that be bat speed, whether it be ball flight, whether it be just overall addition of strength and lean muscle mass. All those things led to us thinking that there was going to be some type of, you know, it's hard to say breakout in his first full season, but I think someone who we thought was better than maybe the public saw. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say, I mean, not only I think the work that he's done and some of the things that we really like to see out of our young players, again, impacting the baseball, swinging the bat fast, but doing it as consistently as he has and also performing as well. You know, sometimes you see, you know, I think look at Marcelo last year. There were a lot of underlying numbers that showed that he was in a breakout, and we promoted him. And that's exactly what happened for Christian. The numbers have been there the entire time. And quite frankly, it's surprising at times that he doesn't even do better. Every time I look up, he's got 1 to 2 hits, extra base hits. He's hitting the ball hard. And you know, his swing decisions have improved as he's gotten to Double-A. His bat to ball has improved since he's gotten to Double-A. So, we're seeing a kid who just continues to get better. And it's really exciting to watch.
Another guy, Miguel Blaze, is a guy that, you know, he obviously missed a good chunk of last year. And I think he might get off to a little bit of a slow start, but he seems to be really coming on and hit a couple home runs, I think, in the last week. Do you see that? Do you see that with Miguel? He's still a young guy. He's only 20 years old. But do you see Miguel Blaze sort of finding his footing a little bit more than he did earlier in the year?
Yeah, when you miss almost a full season, it's hard to kind of get back into that consistency of everyday play. And you know, I really think over, like you said, over the past few weeks, over the past month or so, we've really seen the performance kind of catch up with some of the work we've seen in the cages. You know, we've made some adjustments with his bat pass, so we wouldn't be hitting the ball as hard into the ground, getting a little bit more loft in his swing to hit the ball in the air for more extra bases, and we've seen that happen over the past few weeks. So, you know, continuing to focus on his swing decisions, his understanding of the strike zone, I think is really going to help him as an all-around hitter. And then I think just understanding that he's going to be pitched in different ways than some other players as he kind of improves, because he is a higher-end player, at least publicly, and quite frankly, internally as well. We expect a lot out of him in a really good way. But he's really starting to get his feet underneath him, and we've seen that with the performance over the past few weeks.
All right, Brian Abraham, farm director. Last question, Brian. I was, as you know, I wrote the critically acclaimed book Chasing Steinbrenner, following around J.P. Ricciardi and Theo Epstein in 2003 season. I was up there for a trade. We call it the crustacean creation. It was the Scott Sauerbeck trade. Who could forget that? But I remember being up there for that trade, and you know, lots going on in a trade. And including, I remember Ben Sherrington, the then farm director, kind of swoops in to the room and they're like, oh, you know, hey, Ben, sorry, we're going to have to take this guy. I think it was Anastasio Martinez, right? They have to take this guy. So for you, what was, as the farm director, what was the trade deadline like for you? Because they traded a lot of minor leaguers, right? A lot of minor leaguers.
Yeah.
So what was, take me behind the curtain a little bit for you. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, I think good organizations, good companies are prepared. So it's having a plan, having an understanding of what we're trying to do, you know, having our kind of own internal valuations of our own players, understanding of where each player sits, but also as time goes and as the process starts, being willing to adjust, being willing to make changes accordingly. One team might value a certain player more than we value them. So there might be opportunity to trade a particular player in that type of instance. And I think ultimately at the end of the day, you know, as Brez has said this, you know, we try to take advantage of some of our surplus depth in some areas, understanding that we're trying to help a major league team make a run for the division, make a run for the playoffs. And I think that's what we did. You know, we lost some really good players. And I would say from my specific position, you know, knowing, getting to know these guys on a personal level, getting to know who they are, their families, all the work they put in, that's really, really hard. But I like to look at it as also giving them an opportunity to continue to work on their craft and eventually get an opportunity in the big leagues. But these decisions are really hard. There's a lot that goes into it. There is different conversations, different situations that come up that I think, you know, the leadership group with the Red Sox, you know, Brez and our AGMs really rely on the people in that room to help make decisions. And at the end of the day, feel like as long as we have a strong process in place, as long as we feel prepared, any decision we make is going to be the best one at the time. And, you know, we try to do what we can do to move the organization forward, both presently and in the future. So it's unique. This is the first kind of time I've been farm director. We've traded a significant number of players, and having to call a player and let them know that they're traded is definitely not one of the easier things to do. But like I said, you hope that on the personal side that they're going to get an opportunity elsewhere, and hopefully you see them someday in the big leagues playing against us. Hopefully not hurting us, but giving them an opportunity to play and live up to the dreams that they have as young men.
Did you have to call all 10?
I called, Eddie Romero helped with some of the Spanish speakers, but yeah, I mean, depending on where the player is, you know, during the Greenville game, it was the middle of the game, so we had to call, let Cutter know in the middle of the game. It can depend. So I've been through a few of them before. I don't think anyone has a instruction manual on how to tell a player that they're traded. So you try to understand, like, it is a lot. It is probably a smack in the face. You know, I think players these days, because of social media, because of prospect lists, because of the way things are, players are a lot more aware that this is happening these days. But I'm sure deep down, no one ultimately thinks it's going to be them. So I think just realizing that there is a personal side of it, as well as that professional side and that business side, is trying to provide that voice of comfort and understanding that ultimately, like, hey, you know, you're not with us, but another team really wanted you, and potentially you were traded for a big league player, and that says a lot about the player that you are and the person that you are.
Well, fortunately, we have the blueprint of Brad Pitt telling Jeremy Giambi in Moneyball in the movie, so I'm sure you just, like, that's exactly how it happened. Hey, Brian, yeah. Brian, excellent job. I again, you're welcome for keeping things loose and light for your players yesterday. I'm sure you were cringing. You were cringing a little bit. I looked over at you during the Wasabi Challenge, and you are always welcome to be a participant in the Wasabi Challenge. Because it's the deliciousness of wasabi and the education of baseball is one and the same. So whatever you want, Brian, you're always welcome on the show, and you're always welcome to eat wasabi. So there you go.
Wow. Wow, Rob, I really appreciate that. That means a lot.
So, I'm here for you. All right, Brian Abraham, farm director, excellent job. Thank you so much. Joe, did you just hang up on him?
Didn't mean to.
Well, you did. I apologize for Joe Braverman hanging up on you, Brian. I wanted to give you your salutations. But still, a good interview. A lot there. A lot to pick through. I think one of the takeaways, Joe, is that Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer and Kyle Teal are not going to be called up in the next 2 days.
Disappointing.
I mean, to Worcester. And the catcher thing is interesting. Too many catchers in Worcester. All right, we're way behind. Julian McWilliams going to be calling in for some reason. I don't know why. He said he wanted to call in. And whenever Julian wants to call in, I'm going to say, call on in. Part of the Baseballs and Boring family. You can join the conversation all the way up until 3 o'clock, 617-779-7937. Like we said, this is a Baseballs and Boring show. That's Joe Braman behind the glass. He'll be picking up your phone call. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseballs and Boring show. And this is Joe Trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox started their six-game road trip with a big win in Arlington to open their series with the Rangers. 11-6, your final score, despite Cutter Crawford surrendering four home runs in the game. The Sox lineup scored seven off of starter Jose Urena. They got home runs from Willie Abreu, Sidan Rafaela, and Rafi Devers. Also, Nick Sogar made his first career MLB start and got his first hit, which drove in two runs during the four-run fourth inning. Game two of this three-game set will take place tonight. Will Fleming and Lou Maloney have the call from Arlington at 7:05 on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Tanner Houck will get the start for the Sox. The Rangers have yet to announce who will be their starter. Joe Weil will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:05. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. The Patriots are back on the practice field today. They are prepping for their first preseason game, which is now less than a week. It'll be on Thursday against the Carolina Panthers. Gerard Mayo said that Drake May and Jacoby Brissett are the only QBs that are getting first-team reps. And we have an Olympic update from Paris. The U.S. still leads in total medals. They have 51. They still are trailing in terms of total gold medals. That is China leading the way with 16. Some notable events from today. Women's soccer advanced to the semifinals by beating Japan 1-0. Men's basketball advanced to the knockout round and got the top overall seed after defeating Puerto Rico by 20. Jason Tatum got his second straight start. He scored 10 points and had a double-double with 10 rebounds as well. Derek White only had two, and Drew Holiday didn't play due to an ankle injury. And Simone Biles won her seventh gold in gymnastics by winning the vault event. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WBEI and WBEI.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attaboy! There you go. Hey, you're Joe Braverman behind the glasses, the Baseballs and Boring show. Joe, your instincts are keen today. We're heading the home stretch, and you know what's what. You're bringing in the high-octane reliever, which is Ace of Spades by Motorhead.
Always. Always the go-to.
Speaking of high-octane, I have no idea what he wants to talk about, but he just wants to talk. Member of the Baseballs and Boring family, just coming off one of the best interviews you'll ever hear with Dave Sims, Seattle broadcaster. And that is Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe. Julian McWilliams is fired up about something. I don't know what he's fired up about, but what say you, Julian?
Listen, I'm at a reunion, and I don't know anybody that's my family, so I just had to talk to them.
Oh, you're breaking up.
You hear me?
Okay,
hear me?
I got you now. I got you now. Go.
All right, I'll stay here. I said, I'm at this family reunion, and I don't know any of this family, so I just had to call in and talk some baseball.
At least you're truthful.
like I'm on this like this this hotel elevator. I'm like, are you my cousin? Maybe.
How many people were there?
Oh, dude, it's like 200.
And you know, how many people do you know?
Probably about like 40.
How many people do you want to know?
Yeah. The 40 that I already know.
All right. Like, there you go.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, if I don't know you by now, it's no point.
Put that on the bumper stickers. Hey, Julian, excellent job with the interview. I'm not just saying that with Dave Sims.
Thank you.
The eye test under the Baseballs and Boeing umbrella. I hope you felt good about it. Your brand has never been hotter. I know that.
So never.
No, never.
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 Ever.
So did you, I don't know if you saw, I know that you have experienced the whimsy of Tristan Cassis's quotes, because you had the, like, he's swinging but he's not swinging and he's mentally swinging and whatever. We had another one. I don't know if you saw this. We had another one yesterday, Julian, where I was in Worcester with Cotillo, and we interview him.
And you have that.
Okay, Joe Braverman's going to play you what he said about his current condition.
The pain is minimal.
The pain is minimal, okay? Right?
Yeah.
So then,
yeah.
Then he talked to Laura Stickles of the sideline reporter for the Woo Sox. And this is his quote. Keep in mind, play that again, Joe, just so we make sure we have context.
The pain is minimal.
The pain is minimal. This is what he said to Laura.
Got it.
Right now, when I make contact with a ball, it feels like someone's stabbing me with a knife right now in the ribs.
What is he on?
We are bobbing, weaving our way through trying to decipher exactly what's going on. And we had Laura on just to add context. So this is what I feel, Julian, and I want your perspective again, because you've been in the meat of this. I think that he's feeling it. I think that probably what he said to Laura was probably more along the line that he's feeling it more. Now, he's playing today, he's playing tomorrow, but this isn't something that's going to be going away, and he can say it's minimal. I don't think it's minimal. Like, I think that this injury is what it is. Like, it takes time. Whether people want to accept it or not, it's going to take time. What is your opinion on this, Julian?
Look, I'm trying to imagine getting stabbed in my ribs.
Oh, you're breaking up again.
Like,
oh, go ahead. Go
can
ahead.
You hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
You got me? You got me?
Yeah.
You got me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Sorry. I have a bad service. But, no, I'm saying, like, I would never imagine getting stabbed in the ribs. I mean, that sounds pretty painful to me. So maybe he meant, like, a butter knife. Like, or like one of those, like, plastic knives that you get from like Chipotle or something. I'm with you, Rob. I think he feels it. I think it's something that's not going to go away. I think it's something that he's going to have to deal with. It's similar to, like, Aaron Judge when he had something going on with that area. I think he saw that he didn't really pull the ball. He started going the opposite field a lot because, you know, he just couldn't get off his base with him going to the center a lot, especially in Yankee Stadium. Similarly with Costas, I think it's going to be a situation where, yes, he's going to feel it, but he's probably going to have to use that Fenway wall a little bit more. But obviously the pain is minimal for him as compared to getting stabbed with, I guess, a kitchen knife. So that's not minimal to me, but I guess it's minimal to him.
Yeah, so Julian McWilliams of the Boston Globe, also of the Eye Test podcast under the Baseballs and Boring umbrella, joins us. So, Julian, like, once we started this conversation, like, the show before Ken and Curtis, they were talking about, oh, man, he should be coming back, he's milking this and whatever. I don't buy that at all. I mean, I think that...
No. I don't think he's milking at all.
No.
I think this is... I mean, it's real. Look how big he is. Like, this guy's, like... And if you haven't seen Costas in person, like, it's almost like, I mean, he's gigantic. And so imagine him just shifting all that weight in that one specific spot. That's a lot. And I don't think it's something that he's milking. Look, I mean, if I were Cora in him, I wouldn't be a fan of him going to the All-Star game and doing all that and sort of how he's become this media darling while he's injured and his team's in a postseason race. But I think that's sort of just Costas just being Costas and sort of lacking a little bit of feel. But I think this part of it is real. Like, if he was out there, he would be out there. Corey even says a lot, like, this guy plays through a lot of stuff. And he tried to play through this and couldn't do it.
He's such a polarizing guy, Julian. I mean, we've taken calls in the first 2 hours of the show. And it's funny because when people call up, they say, this has nothing to do with his personality. And then all they talk about is personality. And I say, well, you know, if you go back to from June 1st to April 20th, which is 422 plate appearances, he has a 933 OPS, which is seventh best in all of baseball. So if you're saying it's not his personality, then what is it? Why do you want him gone? It is his personality. But I think that and Julian, like and you can add sort of some context to it or give your opinion. But I look at it this way. Number one, he's a valuable player, the type of player that you don't get a whole lot in baseball. But also, I don't think he's a bad teammate.
No. I think he's a really, really good teammate, actually. In fact, you saw, like, he was the guy, we talk about leadership on this team and all this stuff. I think, you know, that's been a big thing for the last couple weeks for people who might have some insight into this Red Sox team. But, yeah. But, no, when you talk about, you know, leadership and him being there, I mean, look, he was there, right? He comes to all the things. He comes to winter meetings. I mean, winter weekend. Like, he went to the rookie development camp. He went to Trevor Story's infield camp. Like, those are real things that he wants to be a part of. He's definitely a part of, like, this team atmosphere. And I think saying anything less than that would just be totally off. I mean, does he lack feel? Is he a little bit tone deaf at times? Absolutely. I remember one time last year, and he's a rookie, keep in mind, when we asked him about Chris Sale, like, hey, what did you think about Chris Sale out there today? He's like, I thought he was okay, but his slider was a bit off. And it's like, whoa. This guy's a rookie saying this about a guy that has six top five finishes in Cy Young, and who's probably going to win the Cy Young this year. I mean, I know he's been hurt, but it's like, Jesus, the guy's an 8-time All-Star. It's Chris Sale we're talking about here. Like, and here's Costa saying his slider was a bit off. Like, who are you, rookie? But that's Costa.
I know, and the thing is, too, Julie McWilliams, the highly rated eye test, Baseballs and Boring podcast, just coming off his Dave Sims sit-down, joins us. And the thing is, Julian, is that everyone's freaking out about Casas. Number one, just get right, man. Like, get right. Take whatever. Take the 20 days. Get right. Because the one thing, Julian, this team doesn't need is offense right now. I mean, this is
absolutely.
This is they have since the All-Star break. They have the only team over 900 OPS. This is the only team that you know that is doing what they're doing offensively. This isn't the problem. This is not the problem, no. Right?
It's pitching. It's pitching. Like I'm looking at these starts now, and I'm like, I'm going, oh boy. Like it's one thing to have the offense. Look. Pete Fassi needs a raise. I actually texted him that the other day. I was like, yo, man, like what you've done with this offense and how your team has gotten the most out of these guys is absolutely insane. Connor Wong's a 300 hitter. Like, nobody ever fathomed that. You know, Dom Smith coming through the way he's been coming through. It's not just like guys like Devers. Obviously, Devers is having a great, great season. I think this is the best he's ever looked in the years that I've covered him. But it's the guys around him as well. Like, you have guys that are coming up and being impact players as rookies. That doesn't really happen like that. I mean, look at the Yankees. Outside of Judge and Soto for most of the year, you could say their offense was pretty much anemic. That's not the case with the Red Sox. The Red Sox get the most out of the guys offensively. It's on the pitching side now that I think should give people concern. So Kasha should not – I wouldn't say take his time because there's not much time left, but – When he's ready to go, he's ready to go. And I'm sure when he's back, he'll be even more force of his offense.
I'm going to blow your mind with some numbers. I know that like, you love it when I do that. Since the All-Star break, I'm going to give you the names. I'm going to give you the OPSs of the Boston Red Sox players. And this is also going to make Pete Fatsy a lot of money. So since the All-Star break, 2 weeks, Willie Abreu, 103.1 OPS. Devers, 1.152 OPS. Raffaello, 8.17 OPS. Wong, 849 OPS. Duran, 1127 OPS. O'Neill, 122 OPS. Yoshida, 890 OPS. Dom Smith, 852 OPS. Romy Gonzalez, 975 OPS. I mean, I listed off, how many guys did I list off? Nine.
That's crazy.
Nine. Nine guys.
So nine guys have an OPS of 8 something or better.
Yeah. Dom Smith is a low.
Dom Smith. Of them have.
Yeah. So Carter Wong actually is the lowest. Rafael is the lowest, 817, but he has a batting average of 327. So, yes. This is insane. Yeah, it is. I mean, it really is. So,
insane. So, like, I mean, it goes to show they can score runs, man. I mean, look what they did last night. Look what they've done. Look, I mean, and teams talk about it all the time. Even Seattle, they were like, look, that's a tough team that gets tough at bat. They came in and they got Logan Gilbert out, like, in the 2 2/3 innings. I talked to Ryan Divish from who does great work for the Seattle Times, one of my good friends, and he says, dude, that never happens, like, ever. And they got him out after, like, 2 2/3. Look, that was his shortest start since 2021.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane.
That's crazy. Well, Julian, I love a fired up Julian. I wish you swung by the Baseballs and Boring Studios more often. You're always welcome. I look forward to your next eye test. I don't know who it'll be with. Whatever team's coming to town. Who's coming to town? Houston? Is Houston coming to town? Are you going on the trip? You going on the KC trip?
I'm gonna get Alex Bregman. That's my guy.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Alex,
yeah, I love Alex Bregman.
Put it on the board, Alex Bregman. He is going to be
on the board, baby.
He is Julian McWilliams' next interview in the Baseball is in Boring podcast. And by the way, last question: Tito's and soda and nothing else at the reunion. Just a vats of Tito's and soda.
Listen, I got there and we're in this like hospitality room, and my dad said, "I got the Tito's for you in the room." I'm like, Dad, are you finally drinking it now? He said, yeah. And he said, get back in with his tequila. So there you go.
Well, in case people don't know, Julian McWilliams lost maybe 100 pounds off drinking Tito's and soda. It's science.
No lie. It saved my – like, I was 230 at camp last year. 230. I got to Detroit, which was the second series. And I was down to 190. Mm. It was insane.
So what you're saying is I saved your life by telling you to drink Tito's and soda.
You did. You did. Look, I was on the verge of being pre-diabetic, I think.
All right.
Now I get to have my foot for the rest of my life.
See? You're welcome. Every time you look at that foot, thank me. All right, Julian.
Yep.
Have a good time with your reunion.
All right, thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling. That was fun. It was always a good time with Julian. All right. We have one more segment to go. Then Chris Scheim and Andy Hart taking over, talking about Drake May's terrible day at camp. I guess. I don't know. This is what it sounds like. I mean, who knows?
But we're a baseball show. We don't pay attention.
Well, I mean, again, maybe we could talk about this in the last segment. I'll maybe talk to those guys if they do want to do a crossover at all. But I would love to talk about the spring training versus NFL preseason. I find this dynamic bizarre. It really is bizarre. Anyway, we got one more segment to go. That's all I know. It's been a good time. We're pitching a perfect game here, Joe. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Be back after this. All right, we're back. Baseball Isn't Boring Show. Hold on. I got to reach in my bag here. Oh, my wrist still hurt, Chris Scheim. Still hurt.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I am going to give you, look at this, a sticker.
Oh, baby.
Ow,
let's go.
That hurt. Yeah, I'll take a picture of you with your sticker later.
I would love that.
That is Chris Scheim. He is obviously of the Greg Hill Show and also of the show that's coming up. Is Andy coming in?
Andy is coming in. He's coming straight from Gillette, so he'll be a few minutes late, will be here. No problem.
That's all good.
Oh, yeah.
I love his due diligence. Yeah,
down there.
I love listening to you guys. Was it last week? Last week?
Yeah,
last
weekend.
What did I text?
He texted about Tristan Cassis questions.
You said that he wasn't going to be back this season.
Yeah, I said there's a chance he doesn't come back this season. And it feels like, I mean, according to what he said, what was that, yesterday? When he hits the baseball, it's like getting stabbed in the ribs.
When I talked to him, I talked to him with Chris Cotillo, an hour before Laura Stickles, who is the sideline reporter for the Woo Sox, who had that stabbing the ribs comment, this is what he told us.
The pain is minimal.
This guy.
Yeah.
So this guy's just all, he's like us. He's just all about the content.
He kind of is. I mean, and that's hard to explain because when you say that, like, he'll deny it.
Yeah.
But
then he'll give you two different reports.
Well, he said the thing. So that's him. That's him laughing.
While you were doing the wasabi
doing
challenge?
Doing the wasabi challenge.
I saw the pictures of that. You looked like you enjoyed it.
Well, he's enjoyed it a lot more than I did.
I bet he did.
But when I asked him the other day about, hey, you know, when was the turning point? And he says it's 1%. It's been 1% better every day. And it's 100 days. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about... And then I Googled it. I said, hey, Alexa, how many days from April 21st till now? And they like 99. I'm like, holy mackerel, he was right on the money. And I told him that yesterday. He didn't even know. Like, it was just in his head, 100 days. So, yes, 100. He's a content machine.
He is.
And I'm not just saying that because he does the wasabi challenge.
No.
But he's,
just in general.
But when he says that, like, this is like two opposite. When we
hilarious.
Saw that quote from Laura, like, Cotillo and I are up in the press box. We're like, he literally told us the exact opposite an hour ago.
And it's not some normal response either. It is some drawn out response about being stabbed in the ribs. Instead of just talking about, yeah, like, I don't know, it really hurts. I've never really felt pain like this before. He proceeds to go, it feels like someone stabbing me with a knife in the ribs. Right when it happened, I felt like I got shot with a gun. So
yeah.
It's dulled down. Like,
yeah.
What?
But what did he say to us? I wasn't clear on this. What did he say?
The pain is minimal.
Hey.
Okay.
Maybe being stabbed in the ribs for him, the pain is minimal. I don't know.
I guess, hey, man, you know what? He's probably tougher than I am, so getting stabbed in the ribs might be minimal pain to him. That's fair enough.
I know. Is it? Listen, the fact is, like, Ken and Curtis were talking about, oh, he should be back, drawing it out. Listen, it's cartilage in a rib. And also, it's going to take time. This is how it is. I mean, for a baseball player, this is the old, like, oh, well, the baseball player is a football. Well, you know, having a blister on a finger is different for a baseball player than a football player.
Well, so last year, I'm pretty sure Justin Herbert had almost the exact same rib injury, like that cartilage in the rib injury. And it's just, everybody's like, well, just sit him out a week or two and he'll be fine and come back. I'm like, no, it's not exactly how it works.
And I would make the argument that it's more impactful. That injury is more impactful for Tristan Casas than Justin Herbert. Because Justin Herbert, you can put on a million flak jackets. And yes, it's going to hurt when you get hit. No question, but you can literally not do your job at all if you swing a bat.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, throwing the football would be difficult too, but I understand what you're saying. Getting crushed by Aaron Donald might be the difference
there. They're both terrible.
Yeah,
they're both terrible.
They're
listen,
both horrendous.
But the cartilage and rib injuries are just terrible. All right,
yes.
Well, Chris, so one of the things before you do your excellent show.
Thank you.
We said this in passing. Actually, Ken Laird did the crossover, and we had mentioned about, like, oh, you know, Drake May, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? And obviously, this is a very, like, football-heavy content station.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is basically the only 3 hours we talk baseball. So anyway, but that's fine. I'm not...
Unless you're me and Andy Hart, who did, like, 3 hours on baseball last Sunday.
I know. That was an excellent job.
Thank you.
But one of the dynamics I find fascinating is the micromanaging of everything that happens in NFL training camp.
Yes.
Compared to MLB spring training.
Yeah, there's...
So I literally heard, like, because Gresham, who was with him yesterday?
Andy was with him yesterday, yeah.
I literally heard them talk, like, giving the blow-by-blow of, like, oh, that was a nice pass, and this was a nice this.
Yeah, like 7-on-7.
He was moving here, this moving there. If I did that in a spring training game, which I actually do, but like that we're contractually obligated to do on the games, but if I made huge judgments, I guess that's my point, Chris. Enormous judgments are being made off of these guys walking around, or not walking around, but doing things in training camp, not in game.
I couldn't agree more, Rob. I was trying to tell everyone, like, yes, Drake May had two bad practices, but if Sadon Rafaela showed up to spring training and started 0-for-12, okay, he's going to figure it out. Things are going to come together. And what do you know? When good players have talent, they figure things out. And I'm like, don't worry. Drake May's going to be fine. It's two practices. Like, let's relax.
You also can't really go half speed in spring training versus football. You can't go half speed in baseball.
But they're not. I mean, it's just like, oh, this guy hasn't caught a pass. Or the quarterback thing drives me nuts.
It's
like,
insane.
So Drake May did not have Drake May did not have a good day today, right?
Well, no, so he had a good day in 7-on-7s, lit it up in 7-on-7, struggled a little in 11-on-11s, especially the 2-minute drill, was 0-for-4 on the 2-minute drill, just couldn't complete a pass, him and Jacoby Brissett apparently were under fire all day from the defensive line. After a really, really good day yesterday, seems as though the defense stepped up today.
And you know what? On February 27th, the ball was coming out of Brian Bayo's hand really, really well.
There you go.
I mean, it's the same thing.
Yep.
What are you doing? Anyway, I look forward to you breaking it down,
thank
Chris.
Thank you, thank you.
Always enjoy your content and perspective, entertainment, and all of it. I really enjoy it.
Appreciate you, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And enjoy that sticker. All right, Joe Braverman. Excellent job. Thank you. Let's go down the list of thank yous. Laura Stickles, Woo Sox reporter. Brian Abraham, farm director. Julian McWilliams for spicing things up with a call from his family reunion. All of it. We appreciate all the callers. We appreciate all the people who are getting behind the Baseballs and Boring brand. At BB Isn't Boring. Check it out. Podcast every single day. We'll see you next week.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Baseball's a boring show. I'm about. Hold on. I gotta reach in my bag here. Oh, my wrist still hurt, Krishan. Still hurt.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I am going to give you. Look at this. A sticker.
Oh, baby.
Ow.
Let's go.
That hurt. Yeah, I'll take a picture of you with your sticker later.
I would love that.
That is Chris Scheim. He is obviously of the Greg Hill Show and also of the show that's coming up. Is Andy coming in?
Andy is coming in. He's coming straight from Gillette, so he'll be a few minutes late, but he will be here. No problem.
That's all good.
Oh, yeah.
That's all good.
Doing his due diligence.
Yeah,
down there.
I love listening to you guys. Was it last week? Last week,
last
weekend. What did I text?
He texted about Tristan Cassis because there were some questions.
You said that he wasn't going to be back this season.
Yeah, I said there's a chance he doesn't come back this season. And it feels like, I mean, according to what he said, what was that, yesterday?
Well,
when he hits the baseball, it's like getting stabbed in the ribs.
So this is what, when I talked to him, I talked to him with Chris Cotillo an hour before Laura Stickles, who is the sideline reporter for the Woo Sox, who had that stabbing the ribs comment, this is what he told us.
The pain is minimal.
This guy.
Yeah.
So this guy's just all, he's like us. He's just all about the content.
He
kind of is.
I mean, and that's hard to explain because when you say that, like, he'll deny it.
Yeah.
But then
he'll give you two different reports.
Well, he said the thing. So that's him. That's him laughing.
While you were doing the wasabi challenge?
The wasabi challenge.
I saw the pictures of that. You looked like you enjoyed it.
Well, he's enjoyed it a lot more than I did.
I bet he did.
But when I asked him the other day about, hey, you know, when was the turning point? And he says it's 1%. It's been 1% better every day. And it's 100 days. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about. And then I Googled it. I said, hey, Alexa, how many days from April 21st till now? And they like 99. I'm like, holy mackerel, he was right on the money. And I told him that yesterday. He didn't even know. Like, it was just in his head, 100 days. So, yes, 100. He's a content machine.
He is.
And I'm not just saying that because he does the wasabi challenge.
No.
But he's,
just in general.
But when he says that, like, this is, like, two opposite. When we saw that quote from Laura, like, Cotillo and I are up in the press box. We're like, he literally told us the exact opposite an hour ago.
And it's not some normal response either. It is some drawn out response about being stabbed in the ribs. Instead of just talking about, yeah, like, I don't know, it really hurts. I've never really felt pain like this before. He proceeds to go, it feels like someone's stabbing me with a knife in the ribs. Right when it happened, I felt like I got shot with a gun. So it's dulled down. Like, what?
But what did he say to us? I wasn't clear on this. What did he say,
Joe? The pain is minimal.
Hey,
okay.
Maybe being stabbed in the ribs for him, the pain is minimal. I don't know.
I guess, hey, man, you know what? He's probably tougher than I am, so getting stabbed in the ribs might be minimal pain to him. That's fair enough.
I know. The fact is, like, Ken and Curtis were talking about, oh, he should be back, drawing it out. Listen, it's cartilage in a rib. And also, it's going to take time. This is how it is. I mean, for a baseball player, this is the old, like, oh, well, the baseball player is a football. Well, you know, having a blister on a finger is different for a baseball player than a football player.
Well, so last year, I'm pretty sure Justin Herbert had almost the exact same rib injury, like that cartilage in the rib injury. And it's just, everybody's like, well, just sit him out a week or two and he'll be fine and come back. I'm like, no, it's not exactly how it works.
And I would make the argument this, that it's more impactful. That injury is more impactful for Tristan Casas than Justin Herbert. Because Justin Herbert, you can put on a million flak jackets. And yes, it's going to hurt when you get hit. No question, but you can literally not do your job at all if you swing a bat.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, throw the football would be difficult too, but I understand what you're saying. Getting crushed by Aaron Donald might be the difference
Both terrible. Both terrible.
They're listen, both horrendous.
But the cartilage and rib injuries are just terrible. All right, yes. Well, Chris, so one of the things before you do your excellent show.
Thank you.
We said this in passing. Actually, Ken Laird did the crossover, and we had mentioned about, like, oh, you know, Drake May, whatever. Mm-hmm. What is it? And obviously, this is a very, like, football-heavy content station.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is basically the only 3 hours we talk baseball. So, anyway, but that's fine. I'm not...
Unless you're me and Andy Hart, who did, like, 3 hours on baseball last Sunday.
I know. That was an excellent job.
Thank you.
But one of the dynamics I find fascinating is the micromanaging of everything that happens in NFL training camp.
Yes.
Compared to MLB spring training.
Yeah, there's...
So I literally heard, like, because Gresh and who was with him yesterday? Was Andy with him
Andy
yesterday?
Was with him yesterday, yeah.
I literally heard them talk, like, giving the blow-by-blow of, like, oh, that was a nice pass, and this was a nice this.
Yeah, on, like, 7-on-7.
He was moving here, and this moving there. If I did that in a spring training game, which I actually do, but like that we're contractually obligated to do on the games, but if I made huge judgments, I guess that's my point, Chris. Enormous judgments are being made off of these guys walking around, or not walking around, but doing things in training camp, not in game.
I couldn't agree more, Rob. I was trying to tell everyone, like, yes, Drake May had two bad practices, but if Sadon Rafaela showed up to spring training and started 0-for-12, okay, he's going to figure it out. Things are going to come together. And what do you know? When good players have talent, they figure things out. And I'm like, don't worry. Drake May is going to be fine. It's two practices. Like, let's relax.
Can't really go half speed in spring training versus football. You can't go half speed in
baseball. But they're not. I mean, it's just like, oh, this guy hasn't caught a pass. Or the quarterback thing drives me nuts.
It's
like,
insane.
So Drake May did not have Drake May did not have a good day today, right?
Well, no, so he had a good day in 7-on-7s, lit it up in 7-on-7, struggled a little in 11-on-11s, especially the 2-minute drill, was 0-for-4 on the 2-minute drill, just couldn't complete a pass. Him and Jacoby Brissett apparently were under fire all day from the defensive line. After a really, really good day yesterday, seems as though the defense stepped up today.
And you know what? On February 27th, the ball was coming out of Brian Bayo's hand really, really well.
There you go.
I mean, it's the same thing.
Yep.
What are we doing? Anyway, I look forward to you breaking it down,
Chris. Thank you.
Always enjoy your content and perspective, entertainment, and all of it. I really enjoy it.
Appreciate you, Rob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And enjoy that sticker. All right, Joe Braverman. Excellent job. Thank you. Let's go down the list of thank yous. Laura Stickles, Woo Sox reporter. Brian Abraham, farm director. Julian McWilliams for spicing things up with a call from his family reunion. All of it. We appreciate all the callers. We appreciate all the people who are getting behind the Baseballs and Boring brand. At BB Isn't Boring. Check it out. Podcast every single day. We'll see you next week.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.